FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. I'm here live at Freedom Fest 2016. Believe it or not, this is the 10th Freedom Fest. I was looking through the archive. It's the fifth one that I have personally attended. I am at the Manhattan Institute booth. That is an organization that I've been following for years, back when I lived in that godforsaken Stalinist theme park called New York. And I am here with Jared Meyer. He is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, also written a couple of books. Jared, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you've written a book called Uber Positive, which you made a couple of outlandish claims that it will even make millennials into libertarians.
Well, I think what you see is when you talk to young people, over two-thirds want to start their own business at some point in their lives. They have this entrepreneurial drive and they want to work for themselves. They don't want to go be a company man and work at the same company for 30 years and then retire with a defined benefit pension. They're looking for individualized, flexible work experiences, the type that sharing economy companies like Uber provide.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you give them a little too much credit there, but probably there is a good portion of them that do. So you wrote this book about Uber, and obviously you have positive thoughts about it, but perhaps that's because you don't drive a taxi cab?
Well, that would be one reason. I know from the comments I get on Twitter and on my articles, people who own taxi medallions in New York or drive a taxi, they're very upset that they're having to face a new competition. But what you see is on the state and local level, you have politicians of all political stripes that are in the pockets of, let's say, big taxi. But on the federal level, what's really lined up is now Democrats are coming out against the sharing economy, namely Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, because they're saying it's bad for workers. But what they don't realize is that though Uber is just one option and it's a fairly popular work option, the sharing economy is driven by what economists call lower transaction costs, which means that it's easier than ever before for people to find one another. So everyone from, let's say, a podcast host to a personal trainer to an accountant to a lawyer can all find people more easily than ever before through online platforms. It's about empowering consumers and empowering workers, and it goes far beyond just Uber.
All right. So Uber, I use it myself quite often. It's convenient. Sometimes it's even better than owning a car, especially if it's going to be a late night, you're out drinking. One thing I found, especially in New York City, is that every Uber car is spotless. The owner is spotless. They don't drive like maniacs. And it's a whole different experience than the medallion taxi cab.
Yeah, and I think one of the main benefits of the sharing economy is peer-to-peer online interaction enables people to rate each other. It's a reputational-based system. So when you were in a taxi, the trip's anonymous. Anyone could get in there. You can act like as big of a jerk as you want to, and there's really no repercussions. Try calling New York's 311 hotline to report a taxi complaint, and you're not going to get anywhere. But now with Uber, with just a few clicks of a button, and let's extend this to Airbnb, or even rating systems on Angie's List, or Amazon, or Google Reviews. All these things really let consumers have more power into their hands. They can hear from other people and they have more information than ever before. I think this shows the larger trend of as technology continues to increase, government regulators don't need to play as big of a role as they did in the past.
And obviously, Jared, government regulators aren't happy about this. When you look at the taxi industry, there's no other, it's probably one of the oldest regulatory industries in most major cities. You go to Chicago, you go to Boston, any major city, and they've got their taxi regulatory commission. In New York City, it's called the Taxi and Limousine Commission, or TLC. And Uber is a direct threat to their existence, and they've kind of fought it tooth and nail. They appear to be losing the battle now, don't they?
Yeah, and what I look at in the book, Uber Positive, Why Americans Love the Sharing Economy, is just the case in New York City. I think it's the perfect example that shows the heroes of innovation innovation and the villains, who are the ones who want to overregulate and keep away new technology. But what I found that was most interesting, and reasons why progressive politicians such as Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, should support sharing economy companies, is when you look at Uber's ride data, as the company grew, its rides actually moved away from downtown and midtown Manhattan. The fastest growth was seen in low-income, outer borough neighborhoods. And as someone who lived in Queens for 4 years, I can tell you I never saw yellow taxis cruising around my neighborhood. So people were underserved and they desperately need these additional options that the sharing economy can provide.
That is a really great point, because the Taxi and Limousine Commission is always trying to force yellow taxis into poorer neighborhoods. And the yellow taxis don't want to go there because they're getting robbed all the time. You know, they refuse to pick up minority passengers because they say, you're going to take us to the South Bronx or Harlem, where I'm then going to not pick up a fare, or you're going to rob me or whatever. Here, Uber, Lyft, they're cashless, so odds of a robbery are nil. They're definitely going to get their fare. So this is the best thing that's ever happened to these minority neighborhoods, because they can get the service that they so desperately need. It eliminates the discrimination that's inherent in the current system. And yet somehow Bill de Blasio, comrade de Blasio, he's against this system.
Yeah, and you could see what he tried to do was actually put a cap on Uber's growth, and he claimed that it was because of Manhattan congestion, like traffic. But it's hilarious. He ran as a mayor for all of New York. He said he's not just going to be a mayor of Wall Street and Midtown. But then what happens? When you get a service that, as you said, people desperately needed in the outer boroughs, he decides to take it away and focus just on Manhattan. It shows you that the $500,000 the taxi industry gave him to get him elected goes a long way towards buying influence.
Well, we all know that comrade de Blasio is Mr. Pay for Play. He's being investigated right now by the U.S. Attorney's Office, by even the corrupt Manhattan District Attorney's Office. I mean, everybody's after him. Cuomo's after him. I mean, I think the Attorney General for the pay-for-play corrupt policies, but that's for another show. What about Airbnb? Airbnb hasn't been as successful in confronting the established bureaucracies in New York City. They're going up against the lodging industry, which I guess is even more powerful than the yellow cab taxi industry and the TLC. What's going to happen with Airbnb? Are they going to win this like Uber did and Lyft, or are they going to be squashed like an ant under comrade de Blasio's boot heel?
I think Airbnb, especially in New York, is an interesting case because so many people are renters in New York because of sky-high property values, and oftentimes rental contracts prohibit short-term rentals. So it's a question of if people were violating their leases, but Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General of New York, just is having a war on Airbnb, where he's going and trying to stop, eliminate people's freedom of speech and go after posting Airbnb listings on the site. They want to hold Airbnb accountable, which would violate decades of internet precedent under the law. So it just shows that when you have homeowners and you have the hotel industry lining up against an innovative new service, you can really cut it off and take things away from consumers that consumers clearly want. And with high New York rents and rents across the country, everyone should know homeowners and renters need another way to try to meet their mortgage or their rent payments.
Yeah, and I've stayed in Airbnbs myself in various places in the country, as well as in Cuba, where it's hard to believe that there'd be more freedom in Havana to rent out rooms in your home than there would be in New York City. It just shows what a crazy world this is.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea that happened. That's got to be an example I need to use, because you see that the U.S., a lot of times, they're known as the areas of innovation. We look to Silicon Valley, but once the innovation in the world of bits, you know, online, starts coming to the real world, the world of atoms, you see entrenched interests who don't want to change their role and adapt to new competition. But lower transaction costs and increased consumer and worker empowerment, those are things that we need to stand up and fight for and not let the entrenched interests win.
Hey, and the fascinating thing is that I live in Florida, which is the probably tourist epicenter of the United States in many respects, besides here in Las Vegas. They've just decided, hey, you could do Airbnb all you like as long as the Condo Owners Association, HOA, doesn't care about it. Just give us our resort taxes are sales and use tax. We don't care what you do with the property. That's all that the government of Florida cares about.
Yeah, and the tax question is interesting because taxing tourists, it sounds good. It's like how people tax rental cars. But I think, you know, applying a level playing field, that's one argument the taxi industry does have, for example, on taxes, and that the hotel industry definitely has on that. So as long as we let people be more free to innovate and change their business models, I would like politicians, though, to keep in mind that there's two ways to level the playing field. You can get rid of old existing regulations that are really pointless and allow new technology to grow, or you can take the Bill de Blasio route and apply old antiquated regulations to new technologies. I mean, the taxi laws were written in the 1930s in New York. There's no way you can say people foresaw smartphones and being able to, you know, quote unquote, hail a phone with your thumb. So hail a ride on your phone with your thumb. So really, to level the playing field, I say let's free the established industries and allow them to compete, not chain the new technologies.
Great point, Jared. I hope your next book is Airbnb positive, and I'll look forward to seeing it. People want to find out more about the Manhattan Institute, more about you. Get your books. Best place to go, best place to find out the website.
Manhattan-institute.org is the Institute's website, and my book, Uber Positive, Why Americans Love the Sharing Economy, is available on Amazon and all major book retailers.
All right, and as always, you'll find a link on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and go there, sign up for our newsletter, and a lot of good stuff on there. Articles about Freedom Fest and articles from all over the globe about the continuing global economic turmoil, the election, and so many other important issues to you. You need to know what's going on for real, not what the mainstream financial press is feeding you, the propaganda, all that, because you know you're being lied to. FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Jared, thanks so much for participating. Great to meet you.
Hey, thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.